Whether they live outside or inside, all cats need parasite protection. NexGard Combo, Esofoxaliner, Ipranemectin, and Praziquantel Topical Solution is the first and only broad-spectrum parasiticide for cats that protects against fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, and treats and controls roundworms, hookworms, and tapeworms. Take protection to the next level with this easy-to-apply, one-and-done protection. Use with caution in cats with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Digestive side effects have also been reported.
My son may come in any time because he's watching the soccer. So he loves soccer, and Liverpool's playing. So he'll come in and say, "Dad, Dad, they scored." So just know that. Yeah, just know that's going to happen. So
that'll be good. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, what do you know about the invisible costs of your team and the money you forget about? Yeah, we forget about some of that. We're chatting with our wonderful colleague, Reese Gianarelli, in the house. How's it going, Reese?
Good. Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Adam.
Well, pleasure to have you here, and we're going to dive into some of these great conversations. We never talked about this on the podcast, so I'm really excited to learn more about it. And to the listeners tuning in, a little bit about our friend Reese. He's a dedicated multi-site practice owner alongside the smarter half, his wife, who's a veterinarian. Yeah. And he's also an active member of Vet Partners and Veterinary Hospital Managers Association, where he stays connected with the veterinary community through ongoing learning and collaboration. We've seen you at our Fetch conferences. And like many practice owners, he's faced his share of challenges, operational inefficiencies, team disengagement, and financial pressures. You've named it. He's lived it. So those real world experiences have shaped how he's led and how he helps others do the same. And his goal is simple. He likes to help other practice owners shift from being stuck in the day to day to becoming confident business leaders. And he's a lecturer and a speaker, and he shares practical story-driven insights that attendees can actually use, whether it's streamlining systems, building a strong culture, or improving profitability. He focuses on honest, actionable strategies that help owners get back to doing what they love to do. Just so true, you know? All right. Well, let's talk about the money component. So what are some of the most overlooked costs when it comes to having a team beyond just, say, the usual salary and the wage stuff that we're all aware of?
Yeah, if you've got a pen and paper, this should be handy. I know you're probably driving when you hear this, but it's going to name this all, and we can go into in depth with them. But apart from, like, you've got the straight salary, you've got your paid vacations, but this is where it gets a little bit iffy. People just say paid vacations, like paid time off. My question has always been, talk to me about paid time off. Does it include, now, obviously my audience is split between Canada and the US. Canada has different types of vacation or paid time off, whereas the US lump them all into one. So we talk about paid vacations, statutory holidays, but what about the CE days that you give your team? Now, if the CE days are on top of your pay time off, okay, but some of them don't even include that. And that's a missing piece that we like to talk about as well. Also, what about sick days? Now, again, in the US, you guys have all lumped in one. In Canada, we have them separate. What I like to ask my clients here is, if you have sick days and they don't use them, what do you do with them? Do you pay them out? Do you roll them into vacation? Or do they lose them altogether? Now, I get a lot of different answers, of course. But the question that I'd like to ask my clients is, would you rather your team take them just because they have them, or take them when they need them? Because the operation just is... The day-to-day operation can fluctuate so much when someone says, I can't be bothered today, I'm going to take a sickie. Or I've got sick leave and my year's coming up, I have to take them, even though they're not really sick. See, I would rather preach, if you don't use them, I will pay you out, or it rolls into vacation. But don't get me wrong, you still need to budget for these things. They're still a part of a cost of an employee or a staff member. So we forget about that factor. When we talk about other time off? What about the days that you have closed because you just simply want to close for Christmas? Is that a cost? I don't know what your laws are in your provincial, in your province or state, but sometimes if you close with no fault of, the clinic due to inclement weather or maybe some insurance damage or something like that, you may be liable for these costs as well. What about the retirement contributions? In you've got 401 matching, you've got RRSP in Canada. We have this is a cost that you still need to budget for. You've got payroll costs, FICA, I think, or if that's what it is in the US, and we've got CPP and EI in Canada. Again, these are costs associated with just the payroll, right? We forget about that. We forget about what they actually cost. The signing bonuses, the relocation bonuses, the tuition assistance, a uniform allowance. We spoke about paid sick leave, whether they get rolled in or rolled out. Grievance leave or bereavement leave, any other special leave that you might that your province might have or state might have, we forget about these. But the total cost of each specific benefit is stacked on top of just the base wage or an hourly wage or salary. These are the things that we forget about, and they all come with a dollar amount that we just simply missed and forget. So when people say, "Oh, my payroll is 20%," I go, "Are you sure? Because you have you budgeted for everything else that you have? This is 20% of what you've actually paid right this moment." But we forget that you still need to pay everything else for when they take. So if you have CE allowance for a team member, that needs to be budgeted for. We forget about that. Not just the specific CE days. We have uniform allowances, as I mentioned. Maybe there's some specific courses that are mandated. That is not part of CE because it's not optional, it's mandated. We forget about these actual costs. So I know I'm rambling on a bit because there's so much, but if at any stage, obviously, please stop me and we'll go from there. But these are the entire costs that we can drill down into each little one and go, okay, there's $500 here, $100 there. And this all comes down to, if something's $21 and the total year that you're estimating is 50,000, we'll say, what about everything else? It could come to 57,000. And that's 7,000 that you've missed is part of your payroll percentage, unfortunately.
I had no idea that all that gets enveloped into payroll. Like I don't know about you with the listeners out there, but sometimes we some allocate them out a little bit. So you're saying you just roll all the those extra costs into one payroll percentage. And how does that actually work when it comes to monthly reporting then?
Well, yeah, you need to capture them all in. You need to capture the total cost of an employee, not just their wage. Now, when you are calculating the true cost of an employee by adding up the salary, the benefits, the bonuses, and payroll costs each month, you want to run a report and go, okay, this is what the related costs divided by the revenue. But what in real time or the what it looks like in accurate reporting, you want to say this is the salary that you've paid. This is probably the licensing that you've paid, but these are segmented out, not just payroll. Now, I like to say payroll what is one envelope. We can be creative as we like when it comes to creative, when it comes to accounting, and all of these items could be argued that they're optional expenses, which they are, but it gives you a overview in terms of budgeting. Just because you haven't paid it yet doesn't mean it won't be paid later if they choose to have it, but you need to budget for that. So when we talk about the true cost, it's not only about what you're paying, and what you've paid should actually be, in traditional terms, the cost of payroll. But the moment you pay for something that is outside the normal hourly wage, it comes part of the total salary or the total package or the total benefit or the total payroll, the cost of a employee. Now, when we talk about reporting, this is the difference. When we talk about reporting itself on the P&L or on your QuickBooks sheet, you will see that this is how much you paid in CE. This is how much you paid in uniforms. It's broken out. But when I look at what the total cost of a employee should be, I like to say, I want to budget for that. No matter how much it is, I need a budget. And when we talk about a budget, this is all inclusive. So if my payroll is 20%, great, I'm doing fantastic. But all the added benefits associated with that comes to maybe another 5 or 7%. I need to be able to put money away for that so that when it does become an expense, I've budgeted for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Let's talk a little bit more about that with budgeting too, because this budgeting system seems to work across the board. So what is it about this system that makes such a big difference for business owners from day-to-day operations, let's say?
It uncovers the invisible costs. It's something that's, as I said, we always forget about it, or we just didn't know about it. But once we've outlined a template or a roadmap or a blueprint of what each thing can cost a practice per employer, nothing gets slipped through the cracks. It's basically a checklist. You say, this is how much this person gets paid, this is how much that person gets paid, and this is what they get allocated for each thing. And we'll talk about doctors in a second. But it gives you a yearly or a monthly snapshot with no more guessing, and the numbers just, well, no more guessing, hoping that the numbers work out. You know exactly what each person's going to cost, and no surprise at the end of the year because, again, you've budgeted for this. It's okay to, well, I wouldn't say it's okay. It's fine to understand or just report what you have paid somebody in that moment, in that month, in that bi-weekly payroll. But you still need to be able to budget for the future. And that's something that I preach a lot about. Owners and managers can confidently assign pay rises and do hiring or have equipment replacements and obviously budget for taxes. This is something that we just don't do, which we should, or plan for anything else. There is no limit when it comes to budgeting itself. It's just a matter of identifying what those margins are.
And what about like cost of living goes up each year, you know? Like, do you budget that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you there's your government should actually have, or your government should actually have what they anticipate the cost of living to rise. Now, whether or not you do that in your payroll, if you want to do that in your payroll, it's completely up to you. For me, I'll look at that and go, okay, they're anticipating a 3% increase in cost of living. I know that my payroll is going to go up at a minimum 3%. But pay rises, what can I afford for pay rises? And that's, again, that's another conversation that you need to look at your numbers and go, what can I put aside for pay rises? Maybe it's 2% across the board or 2% as a whole, and that gets divided amongst your team. It really depends on the health of your practice and the revenue stream that you got.
Interesting. And sometimes when we have our doctor's meeting and staff meeting and we throw the word budget around, it's perceived as like, oh, here we go, they're being cheap, they're cutting costs. So is that what you're experiencing? Does the word budget land wrong with teams? Like, what's that conversation usually sound like when you bring it up?
For some, a budget can sound restrictive, but it's about understanding. For me, again, I'm not saying this should be for everybody, but for me, I have an open book policy, as in everybody can see my books and I'm fully transparent along with my whole team. They can see how much money we make, how much money we do, how much profit we take, all that kind of stuff. But when this team sees the full picture, it's easy for them to buy into the changes or the new goals that we ask them to reach and why we want this and why we want that. We can have this, but we can't have that, or maybe we can't have both, or maybe we can, but it's all about a conversation. But what's important to you may not be important to the team and vice versa. I'll tell you a story. We wanted to replace the HVAC system. And we said, okay, we want to replace the HVAC system, but we know that we are going to do some renovations. Which one do you want first? What's more important right this moment? Because my budget is this much and I can only do one. I can't do both right this moment. So they said, okay, well, summer's coming up. We probably would want the HVAC system. It's like, great. So I had a look at the HVAC system and said, hey, can we upgrade the HVAC system? Turns out the HVAC system was fine. It was just the venting. So great. So I allocated some money from that budget to fix the venting. Then we had a conversation about, then we went straight to the renovations. The renovations are getting done instead. So it was about understanding. There was another conversation about hiring versus pay rises. The team said, hey, we want to have more people on board. We feel like we are at our capacity. And I said, fine, great. This is my budget that I set aside for the year to do pay rises. Now, I can either employ one person or we can do pay rises. We can't do both. What do you think they chose?
Pay raise.
That's right. They chose the pay rises. But again, it came with a conversation. All right, I'm happy to do this. This is what everyone's going to be getting. We went through that conversation. But at the end of the day, guys, I don't want to have this conversation in 6 months or 3 months and go, we still need more people because the budget has been budgeted. Now, different story, of course, if we just grew exponentially and we are just getting smashed, I would see that change in revenue naturally. But if we're the same revenue, seeing the same things, and then people still saying that we're something's wrong, I would look at efficiency. That becomes a different conversation. But going back to the word budget, is it a negative connotation? It's not unless you make it. It's about a conversation. Everything is a conversation. So I do invite the report. Often it's the first to see where the money is wasted or what could be saved. So I tell the story about your CSRs or the people that are closing the front of house, the till. They get to see when they do the reconciliation at the end of the day. Oh, we've done 5,000, 7,000. They're making bank. They forget that things cost money.
Yeah.
So we go through the process. I have a financial game that I play every 3 months just to keep everybody on the toes as to what goes into paying for the clinic. It's like Monopoly, actually, and that's a game I created. But it's like Monopoly, and we play this game. It takes about an hour and a half, but it's fun, interactive, and it's sort of like team building. It's like this actually happens, and these are I use the examples that actually have happened in our practice. Like from the dental machine breaking to the inclement weather has happened, so people have not come in. It's like, oh, this actually happened last week. So they get to have some resonating examples for that.
Those are good. I love that. When we talk about budget, I think about this conversation I have with the staff. We talk a lot about having boundaries with each other, work boundaries, work-life balance boundaries. And I like to equate budget as a boundary too, and it kind of resonates with them to say, like, well, we'd love to have this extra ultrasound equipment, but let's see what our boundary is. Let's see where we are at versus where we can head. But right now, let's put that on the back burner for now to see where we can budget for and see how much more we can get out of whatever we're trying to do for services. But yeah, I always try to equivalent, like, sometimes our budgets are our boundaries, and we move the boundary every now and then, to cater for it. Sometimes maybe they're past their CE allotment and they really want to go to this destination. We go for it and we allocate that. But yeah, it really does help when having, like you mentioned, those transparent conversations. It's so important. And when you talk about the solid budget, how does a solid budget actually help an owner figure out if they can afford to hire, make changes, or this is a big or, if they're just overstaffed?
So a lot of people believe that something is true just based on feeling, whereas data will tell you the full story. So the budget spells out what the true cost is or how much room you have to move. You can model out scenarios. What happens if this happens? What if you add another tech? Or if do you need to cover mat leave or summer vacation? We're able to plan for the future. You avoid overhiring or surprise shortfalls. By knowing your actual margins, clean numbers, with clear decisions, less emotion, more strategic, actionable. Again, it's all about data. People say, oh, but we're busier this week or we're busier this month. But when you look at the actual numbers, it's not. Maybe you were short-staffed. Maybe your team approved more leave than usual, so therefore you don't have as many members, and you just stretch a little bit more than what you would naturally or used to be. But sometimes we let our emotions dictate the truth, and the truth is usually in data. They say that data doesn't lie, not unless it's obviously inaccurate. But if you've got concrete data and data that is historical, you're able to say, okay, this is what is true. What I feel is really subjective because it's a feeling rather than an actual thing. It's not just another, can I afford this salary? It's can I afford the full cost, the benefits, the taxes, the works? Or maybe it's, do I need to hire for the summer instead of do I need to hire for the whole year? You know, it's these conversations that you want to be able to have with yourself and the team. But the biggest takeaway today is truly to know your numbers. You can make smarter decisions, know exactly what you can and can't afford, or be able to plan ahead with confidence. Again, you've got data to make those decisions for you. That's probably the biggest takeaway I can give you right now.
I love that. And let's give them one action item for them. If there's someone's just starting out with this, what's one easy step that they can take this week to get a clearer picture of their true team costs?
Pull up your last month's payroll, add up, I mean, this is a small portion, but pull up your last month's payroll or the last 3 months' payroll. Add what the payroll was, plus the extras, the benefits, the government remittance, the bonuses, if any, uniform allowance, CE, anything that you said, I'm going to pay for this person for, and spread it across the board. Divide that by your gross revenue for the month to find out your payroll percentage. Compare it to maybe in some industry benchmarks. Now, we've heard many different industry benchmarks ranging from 40 to 45% or so as long as under 50%. I like the sweet spot of 38 and 45. It gives you flexibility to move up and down a bit more. You'll have real numbers to start tracking each month, and awareness is the first step of control, honestly. I have a system that I use. It's actually a bit of magic. I love this system. It's actually, you can get a version of that on my website for free. It's completely free. You just type in the numbers and it spits out what this person will actually cost you. You can do 10, 20 submissions. I don't care. It's free. Use it. Everyone who uses the actual system loves it. It's a total plug and play. It gives you a clear roadmap of for the whole year. I spent years building it, obviously, and I'm always trying to perfect it and tweak it and improve it almost every month. But it's just a thing that never really goes away. It's easy. It's so easy because all you need to do is enter the cost of something and the system does everything else. I mean, that is... I mean, I love it. I love it. Might be biased, but I love it.
I love it. Well, I mean, I did not know these things about payroll. And, you know, obviously I knew that it was a major expense, but, you know, diving into these conversations and looking at all these things to help with a better budget is really helpful for all of our practices out there. So, Reese, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Adam.
You're welcome. Where can we learn more about you?
Visit me at ivmsolutions.org. Everything that you want to know about me is on there. All my workshops are on there. All my calculators are on there. Again, they're all free. There is the following: a incentive bonus program, which you can get for free, a retention bonus program. There is Know Your DVM Budget calculator. There is the true cost of an employee calculator. There is Are You Profitable calculator. I'm sure I've missed a few others, but that is the gist of on there as well. And it took me a long time to code them, so I hope you appreciate them. But everything is on there for free. If you need to talk to me more about it, or if I can help you, let me know. I'm here for you.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much, Reese, for joining us again. This is awesome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.